I've just been in Dubai for 5 days. Lovely temperature, cloudless blue sky, 23 to 25 degrees. Some people get all up, he said. The trouble was, I never saw the sun. There was 30 yards between the hotel and the court that I went to when I actually felt the sun's rays on my face, and otherwise, nothing at all for 5 days. And once more, I've come back with a stinking cold, picked up via the air conditioning on the plane or in the hotel. Well, of course, the sun is lovely if you can get out into it. It does you real good, doesn't it? You know what good it does you, the sun? It gives you a particular vitamin. Well done, vitamin D. And I looked it up, there are about 16 good things that the sun does for you in warding off various diseases and helping your health. But the fact the sun is there doesn't do you any good unless you get out underneath it. And it doesn't do you any good if there are any clouds in between, does it? Some of you at the back will remember the Flanders and Swan song. And then that goes, in July the sun is hot. Is it drowning? No, it's not. No good unless you actually have the sun exposed to you. But there's something else about the sun. And we're now going to see it on the video that comes up right now, I hope. So what's your impression of the sun? Hot. Good point. Hot. Well, could we live without the sun? No. Indeed, we couldn't. What does the sun do for us? Well, we couldn't live without it. It gives us both light and heat. It's absolutely essential for life. There would be no life on this planet without the sun. What would happen if the world was slightly closer to the sun or just a little bit further away? Do you know? Couldn't sustain life at all. It doesn't take very much, just a little movement in the orbit of the Earth, and there'd be no life upon it at all, so the experts tell us. So what was going on, both on the surface of the sun and underneath it, right in the core, do you know? Could you see what was going on? Yes, yes. Do you know what the gases are in the sun? Anybody know? Helium and hydrogen, yes, quite right. Thank you very much. I've got some people who know. Good, absolutely. But it's so hot that we couldn't live any closer to it. It's about 5,000 to 7,500 degrees Celsius on its surface, and much, much more in the middle, where all these explosions are going on, bursting out through the surface. It's so powerfully destructive that its energy is the equivalent of 1 million hydrogen bombs per minute. So I read. How they've worked that out, I have no idea, but that's what they say. Extraordinary, isn't it? So the sun is both life-giving, but incredibly dangerous, incredibly powerful, so far as mere human beings are concerned. Remember that, life-giving, but dangerous. Now the prophet Malachi, in that reading that we had earlier, he talked about a day when there would be terrible, terrible heat. And do you know what the experts tell us the sun is going to do in the end? It isn't actually technically, I'm told, going to explode. It isn't going to blow up in that sense, but the helium will be all used up, and hydrogen will then just simply completely overwhelm the Earth. Be nothing left. The heat will be absolutely intolerable. And that will be the end of the Earth. The experts say that's about 4.5 billion years away, so you probably don't need to be worrying about that all that much right now. But that is apparently what is likely to happen, if things are left as they are. But the prophet Malachi, he talked about a day when there'd be terrible heat which would destroy everything that was wrong, everything that was evil, everything that spoiled God's creation. But it would bring healing wind to those who let God rule their lives and whose names were in his contact list. So let's just have a quick look at that. If you can get your Bibles out, that would be a great help. And we're looking at page 962. And let me read to you just what it was that he said again.
surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be troubled, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord. Not a root or branch will be left. What day is that? That day that's coming and that's going to happen? Well, it's described later as the day of the Lord, the day when the Lord comes. And then he goes on, but to you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. The Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Now, isn't that an extraordinary thought? That the same, quote, sun is going to destroy everything that's wrong, but bring healing and wholeness and hope and happiness to all those who revere the Lord. It's an extraordinary thing, isn't it, when one looks at it? What does it say there? But for those who revere his name, I can't read it, I need to read it. Thank you very much. You can read that there. But those who revere the Lord, the Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in his wings. That's an amazing thing. But who then, or what, is the Son of Righteousness? Thank you very much. That's going to be all right, isn't it? Thank you. I'm going to show you a picture now. Here it comes up. And let's see what picture it is. Anybody know who that is? You need to have a bit of knowledge of the Middle East and Mesopotamia in particular. The person in this picture is someone called Tammuz, the Mesopotamian sun god. And can you see? He's got wings. Do you see that? Wings on either side. And if you look, in fact, at many of the Middle Eastern religions with their gods, they had a sun god who always had wings. To Egypt, there's a disc with wings, it's to Lepsana, it's to in Babylon. But Malachi is talking of the true God who made the sun, but what he's saying is just like the sunrise, the way the sun rises, the real God will come and he will do several things. And the first thing he will do, as will come out now, because he's the Son of Righteousness, he's absolutely fair, he's absolutely just, he's absolutely good, he's absolutely powerful, he will destroy everything that's wrong, all that's evil, everything that spoils the world he's made. It will be burnt up, the way it's described. Then secondly, he will bring healing to his people. And thirdly, he'll bring joy to his people. And last, he will deliver his people from evil. You can pick that up out as you look through the succeeding verses. Here is the triumph of God over evil and his people over the evil that surrounds them. So what's different about his people? What marks them out as different from the others? Those who set themselves against God. Those who refuse to follow him. Well, what we see about that is they treat him, God, as their boss, their Lord. They want to serve him, and he spares them just like a father spares a son who wants to serve him, but still gets things wrong. God is a good father, and for those who are his children, he forgives and spares. And he talks about there being a scroll of remembrance, like a book in which their names are written. If you like, his contact list in computer terms. And those are the people who are in his range of contact. And because he has healed them and will deliver them, they seek to obey his command and follow in his ways. That's why Malachi told the people to remember the law that God has given them. Now at Christmas we think about Jesus coming so that we can be forgiven, so we can be healed, made whole, made right with God, delivered from evil. And how we become one of God's people? By acknowledging him as our Lord. Names it in his book, in his contact list. So when he comes again, and when that day comes when he destroys all evil, we make up his treasured possession that we were singing about earlier. bright gem for his crown.
But we need to make sure of one thing, don't we? We need to make sure that our names are written in his book,
his scroll of remembrance, his contact list, if you like.
And that's very easy to do, isn't it? We need to ask him to forgive us, to make us whole, and to make him Lord of our lives, to say, he's my Lord, he's my boss, he's my Saviour. And when we do that, then we know that we're in his book of remembrance, one of his treasured possessions. Just let's have a short prayer, shall we? Lord, we see how much the Son is both life-giving and dangerous, and we acknowledge that we need your forgiveness because we are not all we should be. But we thank you for your mercy, and that those who acknowledge you, revere you as Lord, are in your book of remembrance, forgiven and part of your treasured possession. In Jesus' name. Amen.